from AsylumFantasySports.com, RFSportsRadio.com, and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Flagrant Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com or AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @AsylumFootball, that slow crawl to two Gs continues on, Rick.
It's still crawling, just like you said. But here we are. Free agency has really kicked into gear.
Yeah, no question about it.
It's Final 64 NCAA. March Madness is upon us. This is the best time of the year. Oh. You know, the NFL draft's coming up. We just had Pro Day. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah, a lot going on. Spring training, baseball season coming up. But this last week, championship week, this week with the tournament, I love that selection show. Just my favorite time of the year. Check out the bonus hour on Thursday where if you want a piece of that billion-dollar bracket, you sit and come back on Thursday, listen to the bonus hour. Well, you will hear me reveal my picks and my fast track to $1 billion, Rick.
As well as mine. And
well, yours are wrong.
Oh, you think.
Completely agree with mine, then they're going to be like, I like that.
Yeah, maybe we should just compare last year, but of course, you know, you lose to me every year in this
thing. I feel
a
friendly wager on the horizon. We'll have to work on that. So check out the bonus hour Thursday. A couple programming notes. Let's just go ahead and do it right here on the air. A few changes. This week, this is pre-recorded. If you haven't noticed yet, that's why Rick's not responding to the hundreds and hundreds of you in the chat room. We pre-recorded this Monday, and as you know, the bonus hour always pre-recorded. Additionally, for our live listeners, when we get back to live next week, hopefully, as long as I don't schedule something else, slap in the middle of the same day we've been doing the show for 4 years or however long it's been, the Tuesday show will be cut down a little bit, 45 minutes to fit into the Armed Forces Network's programming. Little change there, so you lose about 10 minutes, but we'll just make those. Yeah, those are the 10 crappy minutes we're going to cut out. We're going
to keep
we'll
just add that to
ones.
The bonus hour.
We go. We'll put another 10 minutes in the bonus hour. Like I said, on any given show, there's 10 or 15 minutes of just pure waste, and so that's what we'll cut out, and we'll leave the good stuff in on the Tuesday show for the Armed Forces Network.
Yeah, just forced to fit into a little time schedule, but that's quite all right. Yeah. We're happy to do it. But let's get going. Free agency. One of the most disturbing things right now.
Disturbing.
It is disturbing to me, and you know, basically, it doesn't really matter to me as being a Steeler homer.
That's true.
I'm mad enough as it is that the Steelers are losing so many players.
Hey, they've got Mike Mitchell. What else do you need?
And they got Cam Taylor, which actually I think are two pretty good signings, but Emmanuel Sanders gone to Denver.
Cautry's still out shopping around. He was the one I thought they'd re-sign. And in that role he was in, he was ideal. I'd hate to see him leave town.
Yeah, 10 touchdowns last year. I just don't understand why they're not logging him down. It's not like he's commanding a ton of money.
I don't think he's looking for top dollar here. I think you could get him pretty close to the veteran minimum, I would think.
Right. James Jones. Yeah. I don't know if you followed him much, in the last couple of days.
I'm
but,
familiar with Mr. Jones.
Well, just in the last couple of days, he actually told ESPN.com on Sunday he's interested in playing for the Panthers. I would love the opportunity to play for the Carolina Panthers, Jones said. I would love to play with Cam Newton. He just signed with the Raiders today.
Yeah.
And it what's really disturbing is, do you know, as of right now, the most experienced wide receiver on the Carolina Panthers?
Oh, boy. Smith's gone. LaFell's gone. Ginn's gone. No, I couldn't tell you who the fourth wide receiver in Carolina
Geddes
is.
Well, Geddes is gone as well.
Oh, all right. So who's the fifth wide receiver in Carolina?
Kealoha Polaris.
Kia, I'm not familiar with Mr.
Polaris. He has two career catches for 42 yards. He is the most experienced wide receiver on the Panthers roster right now. They made no attempt to go after James Jones.
And Jones wanted to go there.
And he wanted to go there.
I believe of which was talking to them, wasn't
it? Cautry's out there. I believe Kenny Britt is out there. They seem to be just not interested right now.
You know, other than Steve Smith, that team has never been willing to have a respectable wide receiving core. I find that interesting. You got to wonder what Cam Newton's thinking about that, especially a guy the caliber of James Jones, basically begging to come to town. I don't know knowing what their cap situation is, what the reason would be for that. But I would agree, Rick, disturbing. If you're a Carolina Panther fan, you you get the bye in the playoffs last year. You finally turn this thing around. You got things rolling really well and just get massacred along the wide receiving corps.
Yeah, it wasn't that – well, it was quite a few years ago, but I believe Steve Smith had just come into the league. I could be wrong. Let's see, this is what, 2014. He came in
2002, 2003. Like he'd been around a while.
He may have been after Ray Carruth. I remember Ray Carruth was very promising.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
He's in jail somewhere now. But then they actually had Steve Smith, I do know that, and then they signed Ricky Prohl from The Greatest Show on Turf. Prohl was around for about 3 years or so before he retired. Really helped Steve Smith a lot. And like you said, they've just
name
never really
I can't
done anything since.
Yeah, no question about it. Scary, scary situation. Yeah, I have to think they have a plan. One thing, unlike a lot of positions, while you can address it in the draft, you can't address next season in the draft by and large for a wide receiver. It's normally year two, year three before these guys pan out. You have to wonder what the plan is there.
Yeah, we just have to monitor what goes on. And there may still be they may be talking to somebody we don't know right now. Who knows? Maybe they are talking to Cotchery. Maybe they are talking to Britton, et cetera. I don't know. But as of right now, I would be concerned as a Carolina fan.
Yeah, no question about it. Even if you're bringing in Cotchery to be your number one, boy, as a compliment, like we said, in that role he filled with the Steelers last year, just ideal and did a fantastic job of it. I don't want to go into my season with Jericho Cotchery as my number one wide receiver, though.
Well, exactly. And I believe Eric Decker is going to find the situation a little different as the number one guy on your New York Jets as opposed to being number three on the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, and Julius Thomas.
Yeah, that's I think we talked about it. That might not have been on the air. That might have been another project we were working on where we had that discussion. I think Eric Decker, fantasy football-wise, is relegated to a wide receiver three for me. I truthfully do. I think he takes that big of a dip. Peyton Manning to Geno Smith, that's a bit of a fall-off right there. Being the number one guy with, I don't know who's even the number two up there. They're sort of in a similar situation. Santonio Holmes,
right,
is gone. All those other seven guys named Stan, they're gone as well. He doesn't have the complimentary pieces around him. I think he just completely falls off the table.
It's very possible.
Well, hey, he got his money. I can't hate him for that, but in terms of if he cared about his fantasy value as he should, he wouldn't have made that decision.
Yeah, and of course, there's still time. I mean, I hear that the Jets are interested in Mike Vick. They have him on his radar. In my mind, he's an upgrade from Geno Smith, at least in the short term. I think Geno may develop into a similar quarterback, but I just don't see that turning them into some offensive juggernaut by any stretch of imagination.
Not.
They're going to have to get some more pieces in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a reasonable facsimile of an NFL offense right now. Eric Decker, no Eric Decker.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have the size and the speed I look for in a number one receiver as it is. So, interesting to see there, Rick, one of the best-kept secrets since the start of free agency finally went down with Ben Tate signing with the Browns. Boom for the Browns, boom for Ben Tate, bust for either, bust for all. What are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, I think absolutely it's a boom for Ben Tate. In it, the fact that he has gotten his wish. He's an RB1 on an NFL team. That being said, temper your expectations, but I think he's going to be okay. Like you said, I'm not sure that Cleveland's that far away. And Trent Richardson had early success in his rookie season with them. They got a good defense. They have Josh Gordon. So, and they got Jordan Cameron. Quarterback is the key.
Right.
So, I mean, there you have it. I mean, I think he's going to have pretty marginal success, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you wonder. I'll tell you what, and I'm not jumping out there. I remember several years ago when Michael Turner, all those years behind LT, signed with Atlanta, and he instantly became a top two or three round pick. I believe I drafted him in the third round that first year he signed on with Atlanta. You know, a very similar situation with Ben Tate, but there's trepidation there. I think Atlanta was a better team when Michael Turner went there. I think you don't know. There's a risk with these guys. You don't have the body of work for a Ben Tate. You don't know if he's equipped to be that every down back or he was in the right role for him and who he is. He very well could come out and be a top 10 running back by the end of the year. You don't know. I'm not going to rush to draft Ben Tate. I can tell you that right now.
No, I'm not going to rush to draft him, obviously. I mean, you're just not rushing to draft any Cleveland back.
Well, that's true, too.
You know, that's just being honest. It's not a cheap shot, but Cleveland just really hasn't had a dynamic running game in any recent years. On a similar note, Arian Foster tweeted that he is cleared to start working out, raring to go. What's that do for you? Ring your bell a little bit?
A little bit, and it gets my attention. I'd like to hear it from the team, from a doctor, first of all. Here's what I wonder. Here's my takeaway from all this, from both of those headlines right there. Ben Tate, presumably younger, right?
No, I don't believe so.
He's not? He's actually older than Arian Foster?
I believe so.
I think there's a reason with all the health concerns from Arian Foster, even if he's been 100% cleared. It's telling to me in when I'm trying to find where I'm slotting Ben Tate into my running back rankings, because it's going to be time to start thinking about that and putting those together. I refuse to do it in January and February and even here in March. It's a little too early. But in trying to figure out where to slot him, a takeaway I have is with all of the concerns with Arian Foster, Arian Foster is the one sticking around in Houston, and Ben Tate's the one they let walk. So that's just something stuck in the back of my head a little bit. In terms of Arian Foster, if what we've seen in some of these early bird drafts we've done, in some of these early rankings we've tried to put together, some of these discussions we've had, the way he's completely fallen off the table, he's got my attention now. He's healthy. Now, come August, he could be back up in that first-round conversation. We just don't know. He's got my attention, especially in potentially, if you drafted tomorrow, what value, where you could get him and the value at that slot.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, I'm like you. You don't like to make these predictions this early on. But, yeah, I'm certainly going to be paying attention to it. No, Arian Foster, you're right. He is 2 years older than Ben Tate.
All right, well, not significant.
27 to 25. And I apologize. I was just looking that up because I got curious. But, no, you don't want to rush to say, oh, boy, he's back in the top five.
Right.
Or any of that kind
not
of thing.
Not right now, but it's got my attention.
But the team comes out and says, hey, he's fine. You know, I mean, obviously they stuck with him.
Right.
And let Ben Tate go, who is more than a capable backup, as he's shown over the last couple of years. So if they come out and say, you know, Arian Foster's raring to go, I'm with you. I'm going to hedge my bet, put him at number 12, if nothing else. At least he's an RB1.
I would think so. I think he goes up there. If I know going into July, August, and going into September in my drafts, if I know that he's 100% healthy, absolutely, why wouldn't I do it?
Exactly.
All right, Rick, so we talked about Eric Decker going to the Jets being the number one guy. Emmanuel Sanders slides into Denver as that number three guy. Does he have the type of success that Eric Decker had there in that Denver offense?
I'll tell you what, Emmanuel Sanders' fantasy stock has soared in my book.
Big time, no question about
it. There's no
that
question
role.
About there. There's just so much to go around in Denver. And let's be clear, there's not no Sean Marino there.
Right.
I don't think Monty Ball is going to be filling in that role the same way No'Shawn Marino did, but all of a sudden now you have Wes Walker and Emmanuel Sanders.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I like it. I like his stock.
Yeah, and interesting story, some questionable practices by his agent angered some folks around the league. Well, I believe made a handshake agreement with the Chiefs, used that as leverage with, who was the team he used it as leverage
Kansas
with?
Kansas City.
Well, the Chiefs, he had the handshake agreement.
Right, yeah.
They took the Chiefs agreement, used it as leverage with some other team. I'm blanking on who it was, and then he ultimately signs with Denver.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure, but I believe Green Bay was in there.
Perhaps. I can't remember exactly who it was, but playing everybody. None of it against any practices, any rules in the NFL, although violates some gentlemen's agreements there in the NFL.
Yeah, in the agent...
Bucks. It was Tampa Bay.
Oh, Tampa
he
Bay, okay.
He took the Chiefs offer to Tampa Bay to try to get a better deal, and then he shopped it all and ended up in Denver.
Right. And this agent... Okay, we have to take a break?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break. And
we'll
pick
right
this
back.
Up on the other side. We'll be back.
right, we're back. We're Fleeger and Briggs. We're talking about Emmanuel Sanders signing with Denver, and we were just talking about his agent, and from what I heard, this gentleman actually lost his certification back in, what, 2003 due to questionable practices.
Yeah, just got it back. Some people they talked to around the league were surprised he got it back. I don't believe it's been revealed what he did to lose it, but a rather unscrupulous character, and had gone from 30-some-odd clients down to three, one of them being Emmanuel Sanders, so... I guess he got Emmanuel's money. Everybody got paid, but angered executives all around the NFL. So be interesting to see what that looks like for future contracts for Sanders and any of this guy's
Yeah, and you talk about making trades and moves for the short term and the long term. Yeah, you got Emmanuel his money, and you got yourself a paycheck, but that's short term. And if you're down from 37 clients to three, I don't know how many more owners – after some of this kind of stuff, are you going to want to talk to him?
Yeah, being willing to deal with it. You can let it. Emmanuel Sanders isn't such a prized commodity that if you could make the decision, you're just not going to deal with this guy, and you can find an Emmanuel Sanders out there somewhere else that you can deal with. So real quick, Rick, before we move on to the tournament, today's Selection Monday. We're recording this on Monday. Selection Monday for the second annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. Real quick, the Patriots signed Brandon LaFell. We mentioned that earlier.
Right.
Just covered his bear in Carolina.
There you go. I mean, what's that do for you?
It's interesting. I've seen a lot of these guys, these mid-range receivers, end up in New England, and none of them, from a fantasy perspective, pan out.
Yeah.
Good for Brandon LaFell, I think.
Julian Edelman.
Well, and there's an interesting one. They acted like an Edelman shopped it a little bit. Patriots are the only offense he was going to have the success he had in, so that's a perfect marriage. That's where they belong. LaFell for the Patriots, good move. Better than anything they have there. For LaFell to get Tom Brady and getting that offense, great for him. These things rarely, if ever, translate into fantasy success for any of these guys. We've seen it over and over again. I'm not going to be rushing to draft him. I think you take a late-round flyer on him.
Sure, why not?
But
he
ain't Randy
that.
Moss. You know, Randy Moss come in and stepped in, but Brandon LaFell ain't Randy Moss.
Well, and that's the thing. Randy Moss stepped in and succeeded.
Did what Randy Moss
did. Ocho Cinco came in and looked dumbfounded.
Right.
Brandon LaFell, I think, is pretty intelligent. So... I don't think that's going to be the problem. Chad Ochocinco could not even grasp the offense.
No, and he said that.
And he came right out,
He couldn't get on the field because he couldn't figure out the offense. So I think big for both of them, but I think really a late-round flyer type of guy, wide receiver four, and maybe a strike gold there.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, like you said, we have the second annual, I guess it's the Fantasy Football Bracket Challenge. Turn it down. I'd like to at least... an official announcement.
All right, I'm sorry.
Second annual, we did it last year. Jamaal Charles came out on top and actually was the number one PPR running back in the NFL last year, and just a fabulous call on our part.
He won.
Selection committee, but we picked him. The selection committee was behind closed doors for, what, 3 weeks?
Forever. This was intense. It was
something
really
like that. And there may be a little bit of question on a couple of guys that might not have made the 64.
Okay.
But, hey, look in the NCAA. Missouri didn't make it. SMU didn't make it. There's always those guys outside looking in.
That's right.
So the way I got it figured, put up some stats this year, maybe you get in next year.
That's right. You deal with it. You fix it. This is on you. So, Rick, let's just go through it. We'll go through it region by region, announce the matchups. The first round will be played next Tuesday here live on the air. We will reveal those results. So,
And this year we have made a special accommodation. We are going to have a guest in on every show until we've got them picked out. I don't know. We'll go through one round and maybe two. The second, it'll probably be three shows by the time we get through them.
That's what it took last year.
So we'll have a guest on here because last year, if you recall, we argued on quite a few of them. So we have a decision maker. If we're digging our heels in on somebody, on opposite people, we'll let our guests make the decision.
All right, that ought to be fun for them, having a referee between us two idiots. I'm sure
there's
people beating down the door to get on that show. All right, Rick, let's start in the East region, the number one overall seed and defending champion, Jamaal Charles, taking on 16 seed Monty Ball.
Yes, and then we move on to the 8 seed, versus the 9 seed. I thought this was a very intriguing matchup. You have Pierre Garçon versus Wes Welker.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting matchup there. Two different styles, similar success in terms of fantasy football. The 5-12 matchup, that's where a lot of the upsets happen, Rick. As you know, Aaron Rodgers taking on Victor Cruz.
Yes, there's going to be some debate on that one, I have a feeling. And another equally dangerous matchup, the 4-13, we have DeMarco Murray versus Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's interesting, as DeMarco Murray, a guy you look at as a top four seed and maybe could have been higher, as we revealed last week, the 1-4 seeds.
And Tom Brady coming off a disappointing fantasy season last year, has a tendency sometimes to bounce back and put up some crazy stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The 6-11 matchup. No gimme for the 6-seed Randall Cobb as he takes on Rob Gronkowski.
Yes, indeed. That's going to be heavily debated, I'm sure. We move down to the 3-14. Dez Bryant, one of the preseason favorites, going against Matt Ryan, coming off just a horrible year last year.
Just an abysmal season for Matt Ryan. Moved down, wondered where he would show up. Rick, Doug Martin shows up at the 7th seed in the East, taking on 10th seed. He may be seated a little low for my taste, Rick Antonio Brown.
Yes.
The guy, I think, on the rise.
Yes, indeed. And it's going to be interesting, let me just say that. And then we move to a 2-15 that I think is fairly interesting for a 2-15 matchup. We have Eddie Lacy and Kendall Wright, who really came on with Tennessee last year.
Yeah, everybody's sleeper going into this year is Kendall Wright. You wonder if he'll be overdrafted. Certainly wasn't overseeded here as he comes in at a 15 seed. Eddie Lacy, probably the most controversial 2-seed in the tournament. A lot of folks thinking he was seeded a little bit high. So Eddie Lacy, Kendall Wright will be an interesting, I don't know how close it is, but an interesting first-round matchup. So, Rick, let's stay here in the East, go through anybody you don't think belongs seeded too high, too low, and what do you think the best matchup in this first round is going to be?
All right, I'll hit on probably the most troubling seed in the East to me is Matt Ryan. Thoroughly disappointed in him last year, and I'm not sure just how much of a bounce back he'll be, or Atlanta will be, period, quite frankly. I don't know if they've lost their team chemistry. Coach Tony Gonzalez is gone. Roddy White's starting to break down just a little bit.
Julio Jones.
But what does that mean?
What
does that mean? Is he going to be healthy for 5 games, or is he going to be healthy for 14? That's
you
the
don't
thing.
Know.
Exactly. And the run game is going to be suspect. Look, Steven Jackson's getting old, and that probably the most concerning seed in the East. As far as the best matchup, I'll tell you what, I really like the Pierre Garçon, Wes Welker, and the Doug Martin, Antonio Brown.
That's the game I'm looking most forward to. I think, like I said, I think Antonio Brown underseeded here. Doug Martin, look, this is a number one seed last year in this tournament. Got hurt. We don't know who we're going to get with Doug Martin. This will be our first glimpse at him. But Antonio Brown, I think a guy, a Cinderella story in the making based on seeding.
Well, yeah, and after the season he put up last year, probably is seeded a little bit low. I would agree there. So let's move on to what? The Midwest.
Yeah, let's drop straight down to the Midwest, Rick. The number one seed in the Midwest is Adrian Peterson. He will be taking on newly inked and I think getting some second life of the Indianapolis Colts, Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most dangerous 16 seed out there, to be honest with you. Going to the Colts, I think he is going to resurrect his career. Whether or not that's going to translate into the first ever 116 upset, I'm not so sure about, but I think it might be a little closer than what we think.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of those 30-point blowouts.
Right, exactly. And we move down to the 8-9, another good matchup. We have Vincent Jackson, always the stalwart, steady wide receiver, puts up some big numbers. And Ray Rice, who'd have thought he'd be a 9 after last year?
Down as a 9 seed.
But is this a bounce-back year for Ray Rice, or is he breaking down?
Yeah.
Put it that way. Is it a breakout or break down?
It's a make or break year for him. This will be a very interesting matchup. Rick, you want a good 5-12 game. How about this one? Brandon Marshall versus Chris Johnson, a 12 seed Chris Johnson.
That is just an incredible matchup. And to top it off, you have top-notch wide receiver against, you know, pretty top-notch, not the elite anymore, running back, which carries a whole different little scenario with it. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup. Then we have it's kind of a surprise 4-13. We have A.J. Green going against Julius Thomas.
Julius Thomas down at the 13, the tight end position, getting disrespected by the committee.
I'm not so sure it's that disrespected, quite frankly. I mean, there's not that many tight ends in the field of 64.
No, I believe three or four tight ends will find.
And he's one of them,
that.
So I can't really hardly say he's disrespected. And I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. A.J. Green, probably not a very good matchup for him, though.
No,
because they're both the very similar, you know, they're receiving. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, here I like this matchup, Rick, a matchup of the probably two biggest surprises at the wide receiver position. Two upstart wide receivers, Alshon Jeffrey and Keenan Allen as an 11 seed.
Yeah, going into this year, I would have picked Keenan Allen as one of my sleepers. Couldn't have made a worse draw than Alshon Jeffrey, quite frankly.
Yeah, he's Alshon Jeffrey's what Keenan Allen, I think, at this point is trying to achieve. But I think still a very interesting matchup.
Definitely. And then we go to the 3-14, probably the one that is the farthest apart as far as the 3-14s go, Josh Gordon and Maurice Jones-Drew. We're not even sure where Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be playing.
Where, if he's going to play. Still a little jarring to me to see Jones-Drew down on that 14 line. As I look at it, I tend to agree with the committee. It just seems strange to see a guy the caliber of Maurice Jones-Drew was 2 and 3 years ago down there at the 14 seed, about to get throttled by Josh Gordon.
That's true. Unfortunately, the clock waits on no one. And, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew has had a lot of wear and tear.
All right, Rick, here's the guy I think. This happens again with the 10 seed, some disrespect for the wide receiver position. A very, very interesting matchup. 7 seed Cam Newton taking on 10 seed Larry Fitzgerald. Boy, I think another guy who was underseeded.
Yeah, and especially now that he's going to be in his second season with Carson Palmer. Andre Ellington's a clear starter as far as the running back goes. And, you know, they've gotten rid of Andre Roberts. I mean, they've got their one, their two wide receivers. I think Larry Fitzgerald's looking to have a good year.
Very interesting. These 7-10 matchups are going to be tough.
Yeah, and then we'll finish it off with a 2-15. Another very interesting one, Matt Forte, the number 2 seed against 15 seed Percy Harvin. You know, on the surface, it sounds like an excellent matchup. And then you look at it, well, Harvin's been hurt or where. Let's not forget Forte has some injury bugs in his past. You know, last year is his breakout year, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm not going to predict an upset here, I think. Obviously, Matt Forte seeded appropriately. Don't mind Harvin seeding, so I think that'll be interesting. So, Rick, the matchup you're most looking forward to out of this before we'll hit the break and then reveal the other side of the bracket.
Oh, definitely Brandon Marshall, Chris Johnson, I think, is the match. That one and Vincent Jackson, Ray Rice, I think both those are very tight.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what way it goes with Ray Rice. Back to your point from earlier, you got the steady wide receiver and a lot of question marks, but a potential upper echelon running back, depending on which Ray Rice shows up. Be curious to see how that one all plays out.
Yeah, and Vincent Jackson, let's not forget, when he had the first part of his career with Tampa was with Josh Freeman. He's no longer there. He wasn't that dominating stat-wise with Glennon in there.
That's true. It sort of went away there. So those are our East and our Midwest brackets. We'll be right back after this to reveal the West and the South. And we're back on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, heard worldwide on the AsylumFantasySports.com. And, boy, I botched that coming all the way back in. What I meant to say was the Armed Forces Radio Network, Rick. We are revealing the excitement is here. March Madness is here. It is the second annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament.
Yeah, it is. And we just covered the East and the Midwest. And as he has to play his intro music again, because he just loves it.
Love that song.
But we're going to go to the West region. And there's some matchups here that I think are very intriguing. One that surprised me with the seeding, and I'll mention that when we get to it. But let's start with the 116. We have I think he was the second number one overall, Shady McCoy from Philadelphia, and 16 seed T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton sliding in there as a 16 seed. Be curious to see what his role's like with Hakeem Nicks rolling into town with Reggie Wayne getting back healthy. Is he the Eric Decker third type of wide receiver, or is he relegated to third receiver numbers? Surprise 16 seed there for me.
Yeah, it really is. And quite frankly, he surprised me that he actually made it. However, the selection committee is not convinced Reggie Wayne, you know, at his age, coming back from a knee injury like that, that Hilton is not going to be one of the guys.
Yeah, is he not still number one or number two? Be interesting
exactly.
To see. 8-9 matchup, an interesting matchup there, Rick. Jordy Nelson, 8 seed, and the aforementioned Andrew Luck is a 9 seed.
Yeah, this is going to be a great matchup here. Jordy Nelson had a bit of a disappointing year last year, obviously. Of course, Aaron Rodgers was out most of the year. Andrew Luck's just maturing as we go, and they're going to be a good team. I think this is going to be a good matchup here, too. This one here, surprising, 5-12. After the 1,200-yard season last year, he didn't get hurt with San Diego. Ryan Matthews still only a 12 seed going up against number 5, Zach Stacy.
Oh, wow, a very interesting matchup there. I think the Donald Brown signing has scared the committee a little bit. Yeah, I believe early on Ryan Matthews was in discussion as a top 8 seed. I believe the Donald Brown signing has lowered him just a little bit.
It's still going to be interesting. I'm very interested to see what his role is going to be in San Diego, but also trying to pick these brackets. We almost have to see the future.
Yeah.
When we're doing this.
No,
so it's going to be a tough one here.
All right, let's jump down 4-13, a controversial 4 seed after it was revealed by us last week. Le'Veon Bell taking on, here's an interesting matchup, taking on 13 seed Phillip Rivers. That's a tough draw for Le'Veon Bell.
That's a very tough draw. Look, this is the number 3 fantasy scoring quarterback of last year. What a renaissance coming back on his career. So Phillip Rivers, you know, if there's a 4-13 upset, it could be Phillip Rivers right here, because I tell you what, he carried teams to championships last year.
And he's also carried teams into the ash heap as well, including the San Diego Chargers for a couple years. A little bit erratic, be interesting to see how that plays out.
Totally different coaching staff. Norv Turner's gone, and look at Phillip go. Isn't it amazing? But I think that's going to be an interesting one. Julio Jones at number 6, Nick Foles at number 11. What do you think?
That's interesting. Nick Foles, it's pretty high seeding for Nick Foles. Put together for,
considering Rivers is 13.
Yeah, for a long stretch, perhaps his unwillingness, almost complete unwillingness to turn over the ball, perhaps the difference between a Nick Foles and a Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, and I think what
the committee loves Jeremy Maclin coming back, loves bringing Darren Sproles in. This is going to be an explosive offense, and I think Nick Foles does benefit from it.
Yeah, and plus Julio Jones down at a number 6. I think health concerns have probably lowered his seeding a little bit.
I think he could be a top 4 seed if you knew he was going to be healthy.
Right, that's the thing.
So now we're down to the 3-14 line, a very interesting matchup. Two stout wide receivers once again. Demaryius Thomas at the 3 line takes on surprising 14 seed Marquise Colston.
Well, after last year, I'm surprised he is a 14, and I mean that in a good way, because he was dog meat last year as far as fantasy goes. The thing is about predicting this, is he going to stay that way? He's always been a favorite target of Drew Brees, and giving their lack of success, I use air quotes, they certainly didn't get to where they wanted to get last year. Do they start focusing a little more on Colston? Will the loss of Eric Decker actually harm Demaryius Thomas any?
Perhaps.
I don't think so, but I think it's, you know, there's worse matchups out there.
No question about it.
Okay, the number 7 seed, Giovanni Bernard, and I thought that was a little bit low for him, and a surprisingly high 10 seed for Eric Decker.
You think a 10 seed's too high for Eric Decker?
In my mind, it is on that offense, yeah.
I don't think he's going to have the success he did. I think living off of being the number one target, regardless of who he is and the success he had last year. But I agree. I think a guy that's going to struggle there, and Giovanni Bernard perhaps a little underseeded as a 7.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, just in contrast, let's look at one of the 10 seeds in the East, Antonio Brown. stayed with the Steelers. Eric Decker goes from Denver to New York Jets offense, and they're both 10 seeds. I kind of like Brown as a 10 better.
Yeah, the other 10, let's put them up against the other 10. Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, and Eric Decker, I think.
Yeah.
That's Eric Decker's at the bottom of that list. I think even if he's staying in Denver, he's probably at the bottom of that list. So that'll be a good one to check out. And the 2-15 matchup, I don't think this will be much of a matchup here. I'm not looking for an upset. The 2-seed Peyton Manning taking on the 15-seed Mike Wallace.
Right. Yeah, I think it's probably going to go pretty much the way we expect it. Peyton Manning's going to be one of these teams, one of these guys hard to go against, you know, through these brackets. And the farther he advances, the harder – it's still going to be hard to go against him.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play him at any point, especially in the early rounds. So, Rick, in a couple minutes here, the matchup you're most looking forward to out of the West region.
Out of the West region, Le'Veon Bell, Phillip Rivers. I think that is the most intriguing matchup.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Rivers, you know, not a lot of trust for him still. I think in the fantasy community, Le'Veon Bell, a guy universally viewed to be on the rise and a guy you're looking forward to. Rick, I like, once again, boy, in every bracket it's been this way, the 5-12 matchup. Zach Stacy, love what he did last year. He's getting seeded this high. He's getting ranked very high. But I have a pretty short volume to take a look at, and you never know there. And Ryan Matthews, love what he did last year. You know my man love for Ryan Matthews. Taking on a Zach Stacy, be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You see how the committee takes 1 year of Eric Decker, puts him at a 10, but they have the 1 year, a nice year of Ryan Matthews. But given that history of injury and pass, they just can't seem to get him over a 12.
And the Donald Brown effect, I believe. I don't think you can understand.
Plus, Danny Woodhead's still there, I believe.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you got a three-headed monster, three very competent backs. I think Matthews and Brown, similar skill sets. You wonder how that's going to all shake out. So let's jump down to the South, Rick. The number one seed in the South, Calvin Johnson, the only wide receiver at a number one seed, taking on the 16 seed, Vernon Davis. Pretty tough draw for a 1-16.
Yeah, it is a tough draw. However, it is Calvin Johnson, and I think Calvin will handle the game like Calvin usually does.
I think he just walks right away with that one, I'd be willing to predict.
I would, too. The next matchup, very interesting to me. We have number 8 seed, C.J. Spiller, versus number 9, Andre Johnson.
Boy, Andre Johnson, probably a top 3-4 seed over the last several years, dips all the way to a 9. A lot of question marks with C.J. Spiller. Will this be the year? We all thought last year was going to be the year. It was not. This will be an interesting matchup.
An 8 seed for C.J. Spiller, considering his running mate Fred Jackson, who had more fantasy points than him last year, did not even make the field of 64. Committee must be thinking this has to be the year that C.J. Spiller starts getting the lion's share of the workload.
Finally breaks out. Rick, I will say it right now. We won't even wait for the end of the segment. The matchup I am most looking forward to, 5-seed Alfred Morris, 12-seed Frank Gore. This is a matchup of past and present, and who shakes out on top of all that at the end.
Exactly. We have the past of Frank Gore, who won't seem to go away. He's been written off the last 3 years. He just keeps chugging along. Alfred Morris, nine receptions last year in PPR, that's tough. And we know Frank Gore's receptions have dipped just every year since Harbaugh took over. So these are pure runners going against each other.
Similar guys, very similar guys. Age about the only difference.
Exactly. All right, now number 4 seed and number 13 seed, we have Drew Brees at the 4, Michael Crabtree at 13.
Boy, Michael Crabtree has shown flashes when healthy of really emerging as a top wide receiver. Kaepernick's favorite target when he's able to get on the field. Not feeling great about it. Could be rumblings of an upset there, though.
It could be. I tell you that there's it's a strong class of 4 seeds. And he probably happened to get either the first or the second one in Drew Brees, you know, maybe arguably with A.J. Green. If he had drawn maybe Le'Veon Bell, it might be a little closer. I think Drew Brees at least is pretty safe to get to 32, but we'll find out.
Yeah, no question about it. Going down, we talked about him earlier in the show. Arian Foster slides in at a 6 seed, taking on 11 seed Roddy White.
two players with a lot to prove going into 2014. Is Roddy White, does he still have it? And is Arian Foster going to bounce back? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, two big question marks based on that right there. All right, the 3 seed, Jimmy Graham, the 14 seed. He slides in. I wondered where he'd fall on this. Ben Tate, the Cleveland Browns' own Ben Tate, 314.
Very interesting. It's, you know, it's a very huge contrast. You have Ben Tate getting his first string running back gig. And, you know, like I said, we saw some of the success that Trent Richardson had. If Ben State
Ben State Tarts. That's the name of this episode. Ben State Tarts.
Jimmy Graham is a terrible draw for him, however. The 7 seed, Reggie Bush, and the 10 seed, Matt Stafford. Ooh, two teammates going against each other.
A civil war, Matt Stafford, Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, a guy, this is my dark horse for the tournament right here. Reggie Bush, a guy, with the addition of Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford getting it rolling a little bit. Reggie Bush, my dark horse in this tournament.
Well, and you know, contrastly, with the addition of Golden Tate, a healthy Reggie Bush plus Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford could really explode this year.
No question.
I mean, he
about
is a 5,000-yard passer. In a couple of years ago, so this could be whoever comes out of this one could move on.
Could go on a run, right. No question about it. And the 2:15 matchup: Steady Eddie, number 2 seed, Marshawn Lynch takes on PPR Dreamboat, and once again, New England Patriot Julian Edelman.
And as I believe that's the only reason he's still in here is because he did sign with New England.
Yeah, otherwise I believe he drops right out of the field. So we got about 2 minutes left. Rick, you're the matchup you're most looking forward to in the South.
Arian Foster, Roddy White. I think that is a classic matchup because they both have a lot to prove. And I'll tell you what, if Arian Foster gets back to the form he was, or Roddy White,
Either one could go on a run.
Powerful fantasy player.
Yeah, no question about it. I mentioned earlier, looking forward to that past versus present, Alfred Morris, Frank Gore. You know, you keep bringing up, and you're right, you worry about Alfred Morris in PPR formats. You worry about Frank Gore finally it being the year it all ends for him. Interesting to see how that matchup ends.
Yeah, and another one, C.J. Spiller and Andre Johnson. When will Fred Jackson go away?
Let's face it, if ever.
I tell you, the guy is timeless, and he keeps outperforming Spiller. That is the problem.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's earning his reps. He's doing it the right way. C.J. Spiller, I think, goes into these seasons as the top back, and Fred Jackson just continuously and over again wins reps away from C.J. Spiller.
And he's not the first guy to lose it to Fred Jackson.
No.
Let's be clear about that. We've covered that many times.
He's done it to many a fair back in the NFL. So that's it. We will play the first round next Tuesday. It'll probably be the bulk, if not the entire show, as we debate and battle back and forth and bring these results to you live Tuesday.
And we'll be live. If you want to participate, we'll give out the number and give us a call.
Oh, that could be interesting. We can do that. So, Rick, we are about out of time. Thank you to everyone over at the Armed Forces Radio Network, rfsportsradio.com, for having us via your airwaves. Don't forget, check out the bonus hour coming up Thursday, 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio and at AsylumFantasySports.com. Well, we will reveal our picks in the NCAA tournament, that second-tier tournament going on right now.
Yeah, that thing they put a basketball through a hoop or something.
Yeah, something about that. It's no Asylum Fantasy Football tournament, but it's still interesting TV. I'll give them that.
That's for sure.
So until then, Rick, we will be back. Of course, this is Monday. If you're listening to this Tuesday, you'll check us out Thursday at 8 o'clock. We will be back live with that first round next Tuesday. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care.